in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. World football's governing body, FIFA, recently paid tribute to the late Nigerian star Rashidi Yekini 8 years after his death at the age of 48. FIFA posted a video at its World Cup Twitter page of Yekini's iconic goal-scoring celebration at the 1994 World Cup here in the United States. After scoring Nigeria's first ever goal in a World Cup in a 3-0 win against Bulgaria at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas, Yekini cried while holding the goal's net. FIFA said Africa sadly lost one of its greatest ever players, but his legend will live on eternally. The Nigeria Football Federation also praised Yekini for his contributions to the sport. Yekini was named the African Footballer of the Year in 1993. Also paying tribute was his former teammate, Emmanuel Amunike, the 1994 African Footballer of the Year. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Amunike said it's only proper to give Yekini his due.
I think it's our obligation to, you know, to remember our past heroes. Yekini, when it comes to football, has contributed a lot in a global scene. He was in the World Cup. He has won the African Cup of Nations. He was former African Footballer of the Year. So I think for FIFA and the NFF, NFF being an institution that represents we Nigerians when it comes to football, I think recognizing and, you know, the impact and the contributions that Yekini, you know, have done with the national team and also in footballers. I think for me, it's a very important thing that our heroes should be remembered. Not only also when we are dead, you know, there are a lot that are alive. I think it's also important that we should remember people that have done so much to the game when it comes to football. So this is my advice. It's a welcome reaction. It's a welcome development, both from FIFA and then.
You played with Rashidi Yekini for Nigeria. What was it like playing with him, especially at the World Cup?
Well, I think, of course, Yekini, there is no doubt about whom he is. And I personally, you know, I was growing up seeing Yekini playing for the national team, senior team. And after some years, I was privileged, you know, to share the same dressing room and share the same field with him, to be part of the team, to be his teammate. Of course, it's always a great thing, you know. Seeing a great player, and as a young boy, you're able to, you know, to be part of that team that brought a lot of glory to Nigeria, that also brought a lot of credibility to African football. I think for me, it's an honor sharing a dressing room with him. And what else can we say? Say it's 8 years now since he passed away. But you know, the good Lord knows the best, and all what we can do is, you know, to continue to pray that his soul will be perfectly rested in peace, and also those that he left behind, his children and his family, God will give them the strength, you know, to continue to live and continue to inspire themselves. But of course, Yekini is, had it been Yekini is from Europe, we'll be talking something else. But we all know in Africa, mostly when it comes to football, when you are playing is the only time people remembered you. And after you stop playing, it's like you are nobody. But yeah, Yekini can never be judged or can never be doubted about his immense contribution to the game.
Do you think Nigeria has potential to produce another Yekini?
Well, I believe that we have a lot of, you know, talent. We have a lot of talented players in Nigeria. But the reality remains that if we don't develop our players, we will never be in a position to compete. And the reality also is that an athlete can never be crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And for we to compete according to the rules, which means we must develop our players, we must build in them things that are necessary for them to, you know, to be at the position to compete with the rest of the world. Of course, we have a lot of talents, but being talented can never take you so far. There are other factors. There are a whole lot of factors that makes you to be a much better player, that makes you to be in a position, you know, to interpret the game on your own, that makes you to be in a position in terms of decisions making, in terms of awareness, in terms of what you need to do and things you don't need to do. I think these are the areas that we are lacking in Africa. In Africa, we just believe that, player is talented. With that alone, we can do miracle. We're going to win the World Cup. No, I think the way the game is going in modern football, we have seen every day you are seeing new trends. Nothing is hidden anymore in football. But the characteristics that you build in your players, I think that is what we take them, you know, to become a world champion. That is what we make them to be the best in what they are doing.
That's Emmanuel Amunike, the former head coach of Tanzania's national team and the 1994 African Footballer of the Year. And he was talking with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Cairo, Egypt.
Sporty greetings. This is Emmanuel Amunike, former Nigerian player, former Tanzanian coach. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America. Many thanks. Remain blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us now with more sports news. And Prince says he'll be kicking off with Gabon's 2015 African Footballer of the Year. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Thierry Henry says he hopes Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang stays at Arsenal and fears for the Gunners if they lose his firepower. The Arsenal icon, who left Arsenal for Barcelona in 2007 after a long and successful first spell with the Gunners, said in the quote, "Everybody will have to do what they have to do. How am I going to say to someone to stay when I left? As an Arsenal fan, you want them to stay. But as a football player, he will assess the situation with his family, with his dad, and see what's best for them." The Gabon striker was scored 17 times in the Premier League this season, second only to Leicester City's Jamie Vardy, only has 1 year left on his current contract. The North London club are hopeful of tying him down to an extension, though that might require them to hand the Gabon international a significant pay rise. Arsenal would reluctantly cash in on Aubameyang rather than risk losing him for nothing, with Premier League rivals Chelsea and Manchester United, as well as Barcelona and Real Madrid, all linked to the 30-year-old frontman. Former Liverpool striker of Ivorian descent, Djibril Cisse, says he would play for free if a French league side would sign him in order to reach 100 goals in the division. The 38-year-old former France international said in the quote, "You know how it is with goal scorers. We love goals. We love hitting milestones, 25, 50, 75. For me, it's the landmark of 100 that haunts me. I've been stuck on 96 since I stopped. I'm missing 4 goals and it gets to me. It drives me crazy." Cisse announced his retirement from football in 2015 due to injury, but has since returned to represent Swiss side Yverdon and Italian club Vicenza. He left Ligue 1 at the end of the 2014-2015 season following a brief spell with Bastia, which brought 6 league goals in 27 appearances. He previously bagged an impressive 70 league goals in 128 league appearances for Auxerre, earning himself a move to Liverpool in 2004 after twice topping the French division scoring charts. The United States women football team has filed an appeal against a decision to dismiss their bid for equal pay. A judge last week rejected the players' claims they were underpaid compared to the U.S. men's side. The lawsuit was filed by 28 women's national team players last year against the U.S. Soccer Federation, and they had been seeking $66 million in damages under the Equal Pay Act. The U.S. team won the Women's World Cup last summer for their fourth title overall and have also won five Olympic gold medals. The U.S. men's team, on the other hand, reached the World Cup quarterfinals in 2002, while their best finish was third place in the inaugural tournament in 1930. The national team's long-running feud with U.S. soccer has been a very public and bitter battle, with athletes, politicians, and celebrities rallying around the women's cause. Now, let's check out how your favorite sports athletes celebrated the amazing women in their lives yesterday. Montreal Impact's midfielder and Kenya's captain Victor Wanyama took to Instagram to share a picture of his mother writing, and I quote, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my mother. Happy Mother's Day, Mom, and to all mother figures in the world." Charlotte Hornets guard Devontae Graham, while sharing a picture of his mother, tweeted, and I quote, "Every day is Mother's Day in my life." End of quote. Chicago Bulls forward Thad Young tweeted, and I quote, "Even though I have a lot to be thankful for, this day is always tough for me. Mom, I miss you. I know you're still sprinkling your blessings on me from heaven. Your guidance and love has helped me become the man I am today. I love you. Happy Mother's Day." Juventus and Portugal forward Cristiano Ronaldo also spared no expense after splashing out on a brand new Mercedes for his mom Dolores Aveiro. It would be recalled that Dolores was not too long ago discharged from hospital after suffering a stroke in early March. The Juve star is expected to return to Italy shortly so he can self-isolate ahead of a possible resumption of training. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nesta in Eugene, Oregon.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's our African Beat host, David Vandy. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. My VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, produces a weekly and sporty Game Room podcast that you can listen to via voanews.com. In Jim's latest Game Room, he featured a top French cyclist.
The Tour de France cycling race has unsurprisingly been postponed, but the delay offers top contender Romain Bardet of France more time to train.
Yeah, the first look was pretty good news to know that the Tour de France will be held in late August. And yeah, it was really very nice to know that, because yeah, when you have to go to train inside on the rollers every day, it's really hard to, it's really good to have, yeah, you know, like a goal in mind to say, yeah, I'm like, no, I'm suffering, I'm pedaling, but that's for an aim, that's for a good cause.
Bardet says he was looking forward to getting back to competition, but knows the coronavirus pandemic means it is far from certain the iconic annual race will happen at all.
Yeah, that would be either the worst scenario, the worst case. But I think there is a small probability that the season just can go any further. But the main point is that we don't know when, and we don't know how with how the restriction and in the different countries. We don't know about that, but that will be definitely the worst scenario if the pandemic is still too big in the whole town and no sporting event will be held.
Bardet is known for his climbing ability, which makes him one of the top contenders in the major tours. He says the Tour de France presents many difficult logistics now that people need to socially distance.
Maybe the Tour de France is the hardest race to organize, because what was the problem with the virus, the human contact, you know, and with the Tour de France, there is every day, hundreds of thousands of persons are along the road, and the contacts are inside the peloton, and with the public it's quite massive. So it's a big deal to organize such a big event. But we all know that all the cycling season depends on the Tour de France.
The Tokyo Olympics remain in doubt, even with a schedule pushed back a full year. But former France, PSG, and Lyon midfielder Vikash Tarasu says it is time a referendum was held, giving the people of Paris a chance on whether they still want the city to host the 2024 Olympic Games. Well, Tokyo is delayed and all work on Paris 2024 has stopped. So in theory, they can't be ready for 2024 in the way that they would want to be. We are against it, of course. No, now is really the moment to hold a referendum to ask the people of Paris. The description has been used of the 2024 games that they have become obsolete. Tarasu says the Olympics are not the priority with so many things to relaunch. He says helping struggling students, restaurants, and small shops will help recreate a life lost, not the Olympic Games. Stand up! Stand up! Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the Sunny Side of Sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
It is a time for regrouping among the members of the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. A federal judge threw out the unequal pay claim by players in a surprising loss for the defending World Cup champions, but allowed their allegation of discriminatory working conditions to go to trial. Players led by Alex Morgan sued in March 2019, claiming they had not been paid equally under their collective bargaining agreement to what the men's national team receives under its labor deal. They asked for more than $66 million in damages. In a 32-page decision, Judge Jerry Klausner ruled in favor of the United States Soccer Federation's argument that women's players were paid more in total and on a per-game basis during the period in question. Top Italian football clubs in Serie A are preparing to reopen the doors of their training grounds in the coming days. A reported change of heart by the Italian government has Italian footballers returning to club facilities this week as part of a phased easing of coronavirus restrictions. Team sports are not to be cleared for at least 2 weeks, as individual teams are left to pursue their own arrangements, aided by regional guidelines and their own preparedness to safely staff facilities. The first live golf event since the worldwide pandemic shut down sports is soon to be broadcast on television. Rory McIlroy of Northern Ireland and American Dustin Johnson headline a $3 million charity match for COVID-19 relief. The May 17th match will be played at Seminole Golf Club in South Florida, a fabled course along the ocean where Ben Hogan once prepared for the Masters. The event will also be the first ever televised golf from Seminole Golf Club. McIlroy and Johnson, major champions who have reached number one in the world, will be partners in a skins match against Oklahoma State alumni Ricky Fowler and Matthew Wolf. McIlroy and Johnson are playing for the American Nurses Foundation, while Fowler and Wolf are playing for the CDC Foundation. The Game Room opens with news stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.
Thanks, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The president of World Athletics is emphasizing youth sports during the coronavirus pandemic. Joining us now with that story is VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The coronavirus outbreak has interrupted professional sports calendars around the globe and has put a stop to youth athletics as well. In response, World Athletics President Sebastian Coe told Reuters News he is sounding the alarm that children will need greater access to sports in a post-pandemic world, and he's using his voice to campaign on their behalf.
There is absolutely no doubt to me that this has to be our campaigning zeal, and we will galvanize the voices of the athletes, and I'm not going to be shy around this any longer. This has to be addressed, and this has to be the long-term thinking when we come out of this and when we've sort of set aside the immediacy of the challenge.
Coe says the future of sports rests on the shoulders of young athletes, and his campaign serves to protect athletics long term once the global lockdowns and cancellations are over.
We've got to hit this now hard. We've got to get into education departments. We can't let politicians, we can't let political leaders sort of talk a good game about this, but frankly not deliver on it. And any parent will tell you in large parts of the world that they have witnessed less physical activity in the lives of their children, and in large part that is in schools. And that will be our campaign. Every school, every child deserves a right to sporting access, and it starts at an early age because that's where you build up that pattern, that habit of activity.
According to statistics, children in the UK are 50% less likely to be active between the ages of 8 and 13. And Coe stressed athletics can help children live healthy and more productive lives.
And what is clear to me is that we have to do a whole heap more to get young kids fitter and healthier. And that can only be done through school sport. And I'm no longer going to be palmed off, and nor is this sport going to be palmed off by the sort of bland observations that, you know, everything's okay in the garden. It isn't. You know, school sport in large parts of the world has been withering on the vine. Athletics is, by a distance, the most accessible sport to really get politicians and sports ministers to focus on this. And every child, you know, we are going to be the voice behind every child has to have access to sport.
While Coe focuses his attention on the youth, World Athletics is also finding innovative ways for professional athletes to stay involved in sports amid the challenge of social distancing during the health crisis. Earlier this month, the governing body staged the Ultimate Garden Clash, a virtual pole vault competition that was met with so much success, more events are in the works to be staged using alternative formats. Coe says he sees technology as a creative way to salvage the shortened international season and allow athletes to compete.
The very fact we're in individual sports has allowed us to do the Ultimate Garden Clash. It's allowed us to, or allowed the Bislett Organizing Committee to think out of the box and create the Impossible Games. It's allowed us, it will allow us to probably do more at this moment to remain front and center than a lot of team sports that are reliant upon, you know, the challenge of getting 22 people on and probably more onto a pitch. So that's one of the advantages we have at the moment. But certainly going forward, it's not a sustainable position for sport or for broadcasters or for the fans or the competitors to be playing in the laboratory conditions behind closed doors. We recognize that for some weeks or months that may be a necessary requirement, but I don't think anybody is sitting there thinking that that's where we want to be, you know, in 6 months or a year's time.
Coe says he hopes to reinstate competition as quickly as possible, but for now, he believes with the help of technology, global communities will continue to come together through the power of sports. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And that wraps up the May 11th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sikus, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.